the Quad Cities. AM 1130 at 99.9 FM in Prescott and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today on Talk of the Town, it's the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is brought to you by House Chilson Associates, A&E Repro Graphics, Olson's for Healthy Animals, Barrett Propane, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Cliff Castle Casino, High Country Rec V Center, Cottonwood Area Transit, and the Prescott Chamber of Commerce. And now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Talk of the Town on KQ&A. And I want to, first of all, wish you all a happy new year. It's our first show of the brand new year, 2024. And as you probably heard in the news coming from Iowa, there was an active shooting situation there, and these kinds of crises do kind of tend to crop up every once in a while. But we have some folks with us that will be joining us momentarily talking about crisis management and what people can do to turn to resources that can be used to kind of help weather the storm, so to speak. And Justin Chase, the CEO of Solari, will be joining me live in just moments. And then after the news, Arizona State Treasurer Kimberly Yee is on with us to talk about the Arizona 529 School Scholarship Program that is available. And so we'll have all that and more coming your way in just moments here on the very first Talk of the Town Thursday Roundtable for 2024. You're listening to the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live on the AZ Hometown Radio app. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, and online at kqna.com from the Talk of the Quad Cities. KQ&A, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And joining me live, my first guest is the CEO of Solari, a crisis consulting firm. And Justin Chase is on the line. Justin, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
So talk a little bit about what Solari is. Are they involved in the end line consulting with the actual people that are experiencing the issues that they're having? Or are you more aligned in setting up for other organizations and enabling them to be able to work with the public?
Yeah, thank you, Sanford. The Solari, we've been around since 2007, based right here in Arizona, and we're a crisis and human services provider. First and foremost, our primary business lines is operating the statewide crisis hotlines for mental health, substance use, suicide, et cetera. As well as a crisis text line and our peer-operated warm line. We provide a host of other ancillary services and support services to really help support individuals and families that may be struggling through a variety of needs. And our focus is really just to be able to improve lives however we can through human connection and innovation.
I was going to say, are these services actually branded as Solari, or are you kind of in the background helping other organizations that are by providing the services to them, and they then will provide it to the public?
Yeah, a bit of both. So the crisis hotline, we're funded through the state of Arizona and the local Medicaid health plans, so Arizona Complete Health and Mercy Care. And Care First are all supporters of the crisis line. Those are branded as Solari. And then we also operate part of the 988 network of suicide and crisis lifeline for the state of Arizona, as well as backup various programs nationally.
How do you go about recruiting and vetting people that want to come work for Solari? I imagine it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, it really takes a special individual, and we're blessed to have a excellent team of crisis specialists and helpers that just have a passion for helping individuals and families. They're really dedicated to supporting Arizona's needs through a variety of ways, and we make sure that we provide support. The biggest part of my job is to make sure our staff are supported in a way, including a culture that supports them to ensure that they're not having secondary trauma or minimizing that risk among our staff, because they do take some very heavy and challenging calls day in and day out.
Yeah, amongst the services that Solari provides that I found to be most intriguing that I wanted to ask you about, and that is custom training of crisis management. This is something then that is not necessarily, you're not administering as the end user, you're training other people on how to adopt and adapt the kind of strategies that you use within Solari to do crisis training.
Absolutely. We've got an outstanding training team and clinical support team that can come together through a variety of ways to support, whether it's a business, a school, a community. We do a lot of work in partnership with law enforcement and first responders on how to ensure that mental health, suicide risk, substance use, they're all complex, challenging issues. And so being able to support creating what's best response in a crisis management. And, fortunately, we've seen so much happening just even today in Iowa. But it's just critical needs to ensure that crisis management is taken seriously. And the best thing we can do to prevent situations is to be prepared.
And I thought that strategically speaking, when I was looking at Solari's board of directors, that your chairman is a Tempe police commander, Michael Horn. And I wondered if is that because typically law enforcement is like the first avenue, I guess you should say, to access people that are having a crisis?
Yeah, we are. I'm grateful in my role to have an exceptional board of directors, and law enforcement plays a critical role in that. We're thankful to have Mike serving in his chairmanship role as a retired commander from Tempe. We really view that the crisis line should be kind of the third leg of a stool supporting police and fire at EMS as part of the collective safety net to the community. And so we try whenever we possible to divert calls through our partnerships with various 911 dispatch centers and first responder entities to pull those calls away from them and into the crisis system through Solari. And there are a host of local providers that do the direct services from the mobile teams and the facility base that are just exceptional at the state. And engaging those individuals, when law enforcement and fire and EMS are needed, we want to engage with them and partner with them. But we want to, if it's avoidable and we're able to not bring law enforcement out on site, we'll do everything we can to engage without that need.
And we're talking with Justin Chase. He is CEO of Solari. What got you involved in this? How did you work your way into the crisis management as a career, and then eventually as CEO of Solari?
Yeah, thank you. So I'm a social worker by trade. I always wanted to help people, and I spent some time in child welfare doing investigations for child abuse and neglect, and just saw that the mental health challenges and the substance use impact and co-occurring challenges that people experience were rampant. And so many times there were opportunities, if we were to engage people early enough in their crisis situation, we can really prevent unnecessary involvement in the justice system, unnecessary utilization of emergency departments, keep people in their home with their natural support systems, keep families together. I was involved too much of families being ripped apart by the grips of addiction, by the grips of mental health challenges, and I wanted to make a difference somehow, some way. And crisis became my passion, and I've been with the organization coming on 10 years in this role. And there aren't many jobs that you could do that you know that the people you support change lives every single day. And I'm blessed to be a part of this organization and in this industry.
Well, many of the law enforcement people that I've had the privilege of interviewing on this show, sheriffs here in Yavapai County and elsewhere, have told me in no uncertain terms that a lot of what goes on in the in jails and so forth are directly related to either drug or mental health issues, and not so much the what you would think of as being the standard criminal behavior.
Absolutely. You know, as we've worked for years of trying to minimize the use of institutions for individuals with mental health and substance use challenges, unfortunately, where we have gaps and opportunities for community support services, there are times the justice system and jails and prisons do become a de facto behavioral health treatment option or place for individuals, and we're trying to work desperately within the communities to minimize that and really serve people again before they're involved with the justice system. And there's a lot of excellent work happening right now in re-engagement and re-entry for folks that are coming out of the justice system to engage into treatment programs and support services to help, again, minimize that unnecessary impact. But we're grateful for the justice system that is in place and law enforcement that are going to step up and step in and support programs and offering programs like crisis intervention team training and other supports to really ensure that both our first responders are safe as well as the individuals in need.
Well, I've got some impressive numbers that I'd like to share with the listeners here after we take a break. I do want to do one bit of name-dropping because on your advisory council, you've got Polaris CEO Tamara Player, who's one of our buddies. And so, obviously, you choose well when it comes to the advisory council.
Yes, Tamara's a great addition to our team, and we're thrilled to have her serving Yavapai County.
We're going to take a quick break. We have more with Justin Chase, CEO of Solari, and then a little bit later on, it's Arizona State Treasurer Kimberly Yee joining us on this edition of the Thursday Roundtable, Talk of the Town, KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live on the AZ Hometown Radio app. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, and online at kqna.com from the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And coming up after the news, it will be Kimberly Yee, Arizona State Treasurer, joining me on this edition of the Thursday Roundtable. Right now, we're talking with Justin Chase. He is CEO of Solari, a fine crisis consulting firm with a whole bunch of business is good right now, unfortunately, or fortunately, that, you know, we have folks like you and the people that work for you are in place. The numbers that I was able to pull off, and this was probably for the month of October, but you had a crisis call volume that month of 35,563. Just divide that by 30 days, and you have an idea of just how busy they are. The answer rate, as it was described, was 98.7%. Now, you might think, well, why isn't it 100%? Well, some people just hang up. But they do call when they are having a crisis, and they do want somebody on the other end that can help them out. The average speed with which they answer a call at Solari is 10 seconds. 10 seconds. And so, obviously, Justin, you guys don't mess around when somebody calls in and wants your help.
Absolutely not. You know, each second is, when somebody is in a state of despair, is so critical. And if we don't pick up that phone fast enough and we don't get the help to them, that's why we live answer every one of these calls with a clinician who's ready and able to assist with everybody's unique needs. There isn't a better, more important job that I can think of outside of other first responders to be able to provide that life-saving support. So we are here ready, grateful for a network of crisis providers throughout the state that just provide top-notch care. And there's always room for improvement. I'd love that 10 seconds to be 5. I'd love that 98 to be 100. I'm very proud of the team, the staff, and the support we get from the community to continue to do this every day.
Yeah, and as well you should be. And the list of reasons why people call it fairly obvious. There's domestic violence and threats of suicide and stuff like that. But the number one reason why people call was described as social concerns. Can you elaborate on what exactly that means?
Yeah, so we're talking about social concerns. These are kind of predictors of a crisis situation. And so and many are familiar with the housing challenges of getting stable housing. And so a lot of social concerns are coming through interpersonal relationships. So we get a lot of youth callers that are calling, struggling with bullying, struggling with relationships with their parents, siblings, et cetera. Those can come up as a social concern, but we also have folks that are struggling to put food on the table, and employment challenges, and again, housing, paying rent, utility assistance, those types of needs. So we have our 211 line that you can also call for those resources, but they come through the crisis line as well.
Now, you do have a strategy. Solari has a strategy whereby they partner with other organizations. Give us kind of a wide spectrum of what kinds of organizations you partner with and maybe where some of your needs are that are not being met right now.
Yeah, we have great partners. I mentioned some of our funders earlier, but the community partners, we have especially serving the central part of the state. So Polara Health is a great partner. Spectrum, who does exceptional work in the community. Taros and Impact, Community Bridges, Connections Health Solutions, the Guidance Center, they're all just a broad array of providers that do exceptional work that our value is only limited by the capacity and the quality of those providers that are delivering the service locally within each community. So as far as gaps, we always want to support folks and individuals. It's harder in the rural areas and areas that are a little harder to get to. There's a higher dependence on first responders and law enforcement to get to people quickly. Mobile team services are available at the highest rate in the country here in Arizona. I'm very proud of the system that's in place, and we're always hoping to improve that and expand the capacity to serve folks that are a little further out, a little harder to get to in a timely fashion. So we're always trying to get those speeds up. Virtual options are always there. Rolling out the text before Hope Line for individuals, especially our younger generation, who want to engage with folks in a different way and not necessarily comfortable to pick up the phone. The text is a huge value add, and we're grateful to be able to provide that service.
Is there any thought of doing this on kind of like a Zoom or some sort of video chat, or is that typically not the way in which people want to reach out when they're having a situation?
Well, it sounds like you've been in my boardroom recently. Absolutely. You know, we're looking at different ways to engage folks. Video phone and video support, especially for individuals that may be deaf or hard of hearing, looking through an alternative way of communicating, Zoom features, et cetera, are definitely on our radar and things that we're working at, ways that we can engage folks in a different way. Obviously, with a phone or a text, we miss out on facial cues, picking up on nonverbal communication that this is hard to do without that sense of visual. So being able to have that as an option to engage folks further is definitely on our radar, and we're hopeful for this next year to be able to expand in some additional digital ways of connecting to folks. That person-to-person interaction, we're never going to give up. That human connection, I think, is so critical. So we're not diving deep into the AI or the bot-type systems. We really believe in that human connection is a critical aspect for successful recovery.
Well, thank goodness that you have folks that are so devoted and so well-trained and able to respond in situations where the rest of us would literally be afraid to confront people that were having a crisis. It's just good to know that the folks affiliated with Solari are willing to take this on as a personal challenge and as a professional point of accomplishment. And so Justin Chase, on behalf of everybody here in Northern Arizona, we want to say thank you to Solari and urge you to keep fighting the good fight. It sounds like you've got your work cut out for you, but it sounds like you've got a lot of help to get it done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate the time today.
All right. Justin Chase, CEO of Solari. We're going to quick break, and when we return, it is Kimberly Yee, the treasurer of the state of Arizona, joining us here on Talk of the Town, KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live at KQNA.com and on the AZ Hometown Radio app. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, and online at KQNA.com from the Talk of the Quad Cities. KQNA, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And we wanted to say ahead of time thank you to Justin Chase, the CEO of Solari, for joining us live in the first half of today's Talk of the Town Thursday Roundtable. And I'm going to reintroduce, the Arizona State Treasurer Kimberly Yee, talking about some of the things that she has done for the state of Arizona with regard to her investments in the state of Israel and avoiding the BDS, the boycott, divestiture and sanctioning part of the investment game. And she not only is doing that, but that response is also ringing true with a number of local jurisdictions. Dewey Humboldt just passed a resolution supporting the state of Israel, condemning Hamas. I will refer in the interview to the fact the city of Prescott has done that as well, and the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors as well. So this is a person that was way in front of what was going on there and used her knowledge and her ability to help guide the investment strategy of the state of Arizona so as not to reward the bad behavior of the Hamas-type folks, and instead got solidly behind the state of Israel, as you will find out. And by the way, we're talking about the Arizona 529 scholarship program, which is still available and can be written off on your taxes. And even if you didn't do it for Christmas, you've got Valentine's Day coming up, and you could think about it as ahead of time for graduation and so on. So things that you want to think about, this is a really great opportunity to give a gift that benefits the state of Arizona and mankind in general. So with that, this was an interview that we did just around Christmas and thought we'd go ahead and rebroadcast it for you. This is Arizona State Treasurer Kimberly Yee joining me here on Talk of the Town. Thank you. Well, joining me now on Talk of the Town here on KQ&A is Arizona State Treasurer Kimberly Yee. And Treasurer Yee, it's great to have you with us here on KQ&A.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've got a couple things I want to talk to you about regarding the holiday season and so forth. But the one thing that's really been on our minds with the resolution that was adopted recently by the Prescott City Council supporting Israel and condemning Hamas, Hamas is that you have done some things in your capacity as Arizona State Treasurer to invest in the State of Israel, and I'd like you to mention a few things that you've done recently.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I personally stand with Israel, and we wanted to show our support through the Arizona Treasury. Over the years, we have not only supported Israel through our words, but certainly through our actions. And one example of that is that we changed the law back in 2012 to ensure that we can invest outside of the U.S.-based companies with Israel bonds. And so we put in our first investment through the Arizona Treasury a good, 10 years ago. And then beyond that, I have tripled those investments in my time as Arizona State Treasurer. And we are now, I just put in another $5 million to purchase Israel bonds. And so we are at $20 million now. Again, we have been longtime partners in trade with Israel. We also supported them through the divestment of the woke corporation Ben & Jerry's. As you remember, they boycotted Israel in sale of ice cream back in 2021. And it was in their West Bank area, Judea and Samaria. And when I learned of that news that Ben & Jerry's would no longer be selling ice cream there, and that was really a boycott of Israel, I determined that the Unilever company that is the parent company of Ben & Jerry's needed to change their course of action. I told them that in order to continue being an investment partner, they should divest themselves of their relationship with Ben & Jerry's or just go back in and sell ice cream in the West Bank. And they chose to do neither of those options. And so I divested $143 million of Arizona funds back in 2021 down to zero to show that we cannot accept this type of boycott behavior with Israel. They were boycotting Israel. We triggered Arizona's anti-BDS law that I voted on when I was in the legislature in 2016. And what was so interesting was that Arizona became the leader in the entire country to be the first divestment of this. And several states followed in the next several weeks and months. So we really did show that we stood in solidarity. And what's more encouraging is that about a year later, Unilever contacted me and said, would you consider reinvesting in us again? We have sold our subsidiary in that West Bank region to an Israeli-based manufacturing company for ice cream. And so they did do exactly what I made the suggestion a year prior, which was they went back in, they changed their course of action.
A shining example of the power of the purse or not?
Absolutely. But it also showcases how important it is that we as consumers, we vote with our feet. And it wasn't just me making this, change. It was making sure that I was standing for those who elected us to represent the people of Arizona and the people who were in the legislature who in 2016 said, we don't want boycott, divestment, and sanctions activity in this state. And we don't want to do business with corporations that do that type of behavior. So it really was the people's vote.
Certainly, your gesture has not gone unnoticed in the Jewish community and also amongst fair-thinking folks everywhere. So just like to say thank you for what you've done and what you will continue to do on behalf of the state of Arizona.
It's certainly my honor. And I know that there is more to do, and that's why I'm blessed to serve in this role as state treasurer.
I know the holidays can be stressful as parents and grandparents are looking for meaningful gifts. So you have, with a tax-deductible contribution to an AZ 529 education savings plan, come up with a way that grandparents and parents can donate to their kids' future, their education. And so briefly go through what the AZ 529 Education Savings Plan is about.
Yes, the Arizona 529 Education Savings Plan has been around for, over 25 years. And it was housed in a small bureaucratic office for many of those decades. And so what happened was about 3 years ago, truly in the middle of COVID, I took over the plan as the state treasurer. I moved it to my office officially through the legislative process. And I wanted to share with families across Arizona that 529 education savings plans help you save money for your child or your grandchild's educational future, whether that be a traditional college education or workforce development and trades, apprenticeship programs. There's so much to offer in the higher education space to prepare young kids to be able to graduate from high school and then have a wonderful and meaningful job with those skilled educational opportunities. So we were able to share this news not only across the state these last 3 years. We have increased new accounts in that short period of time to 33,632 new accounts. And that allows for families to even put $15 a month, if that's what your budget allows for. And that grows over time in compound interest to be able to have money set aside and ready to go with a tax deduction for your child or grandchild. And the tax deduction specifically is $2,000, up to $2,000 per beneficiary or child. And it would be $4,000 for each beneficiary when you file as a married couple. And that is not just, you know, per household. It could be per child. So if you have two children, again, that's $4,000 for a married couple per child. And we have such a wonderful program here that many of those new accounts that I mentioned earlier have been from out of state. These are individuals from other states opening an Arizona 529 education savings plan. So that's really great news. And this is really the perfect time of year in the holiday season to talk about this because it's a perfect gift-giving idea.
Now, I know there are people listening right now that are probably thinking, oh boy, we're going to hand our kid a little card that says, here, you've got a AZ 529 savings plan. But in thinking about how you make this more palatable and more exciting to kids, your office has actually come up with some ideas as to how you can, quote unquote, break the news to your gift recipient in a more creative way.
Exactly right. Because, you know, any kid is not going to jump for joy when you tell them, oh, yeah, I put money aside for you. That's it. You know, a kid wants to be able to have something, you know, in hand or maybe, you know, something they can see. So we put together some ideas for grandparents and parents to consider when they are making this wonderful educational savings plan gift that would allow them to also have their child be excited and a part of it and what it means for them. So oftentimes you can help them to talk about their future career. And once you find out what that dream job is, you can wrap up maybe a fun career-related costume. So they want to be a chef. Get a chef's hat and then maybe take them to a fun class that learns how to do some great baking or cooking. And then in that process, maybe put that card in there that says, I've also donated $500 for you this year to save for education in your future. And I'm going to do that every single year until you're 18. Maybe you can take them to a zoo if they are interested in animals and veterinarian types of work. And it, we can also continue to split these things 50-50, you know, so where you have the gift in front of them that is, you know, sizable, they can open it, but also be able to share with them that 529 account has also been put in their savings and it will, what it means for them when they become 18 and ready to go. And what's so wonderful about this plan is that a lot of people say, well, what if I don't know what their total amount will be for education and there's going to be all this leftover stuff? Well, we have great news for that. In 2024, we will have a brand new law that triggers to allow any excess educational funds from a 529 to be moved over and transferred as a rollover to a Roth IRA retirement fund. So it's exciting to see these options for families who may or may not have extra funds left over and they don't know what to do with them. And they can always move it to another family member if those funds aren't used for that recipient.
So we're going to get more with Treasurer Kimberly Yee talking about the AZ 529 Education Savings Plan before we call it a day. But I did want to get your take on the current state of affairs in the legislature and in state government. Since you did serve in the state legislature, you know that, of course, as a Republican, as the highest ranked elected Republican official in the state, that you look at the legislature now in the House and Senate, and basically there's a one vote margin in both places. Mm-hmm. When you have Democrat governor, Democrat secretary of state, Democrat attorney general, this kind of deadlock stuff can also make opportunities to maybe work together and get some things done that are a little bit more positive.
It's true. It's divided government. And when I first started as a member of the legislature, it was 2010. I was in a super majority, not only in the state house, but also in the state senate. That was a really unique time and place. It's no longer like that today. You're exactly right. It's only hanging by a thread for the Republican majorities in the House and the Senate by one member. So you can't even put votes up on the board until you have all of your members in place, and you got to make sure they're all going to vote yes with the Republican caucus. So it is a very difficult time to govern right now. And I would definitely share that it's more, it takes more effort to get things done when you're in this type of setting. But one thing that I like to share with people, because I always take the positive outlook on this, is that one of my mentors who recently passed, as you know, was United States Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. And when she served as the former female Senate Majority Leader back in 1973, she was the first ever in the entire country, I was the second female Majority Leader in Arizona Senate in 2017 and 18. And I shared some time with her personally at that period when I was the Majority Leader, and I asked her, what was it like when you served so many years ago? It was 44 years between us serving without another female serving in that Senate leadership role. And she says, well, look at all the desks. The Democrats have donkeys on their desks, and Republicans have elephants on their desks. When she served in 1973, 44 years prior, she said people would go into the Senate and they would not even know the party affiliations of their colleagues. They would just go into work and get the good work done for the people of Arizona. And that really shared for me just words of wisdom that I hope people will remember today as we work and govern with different, you know, political parties and philosophical beliefs, is that really you're there for the people of Arizona. And no matter what party affiliation, you're going to have Republicans and Democrats and parties who aren't determined, you know, in this state. And that really is what it is at the end of the day. So I really appreciated, you know, her sentiment there, and it's back to the time where we really need to play that out. So I encourage my member, my fellow colleagues, my former colleagues over in the legislative branch that they can get work done. It takes a little extra effort, but it also takes that the people of this great state need to continue to have their voice at the table.
So as the state treasurer, Kimberly Yee, what impact do you have other than being able to invest the money on behalf of the state of Arizona? Do you have ways in which you can influence policy, given that we have this divided government?
I like to show my example. And, you know, the way I govern has always been that you bring everybody to the table, whether or not you agree with them or not. But that is, in my opinion, the old-fashioned way of governing. So I show it by my example, but I also, when I have information, again, my office looks at the money coming in and the money going out. It's just, I'm the state's chief banking and investment officer. So when I see that there is perhaps the revenues that are coming down at a, you know, faster rate than the spending is going up, I'm going to let them know that immediately. It doesn't matter, you know, that that's coming to my office. It needs to be shared immediately to the legislative branch and others so that they too can make the best decisions when planning their short and long-term budgets. And that is something I like to share, is it's the old-fashioned way of saying never spend more than you make. And so when we're talking about the revenues coming in at a slower rate than the spending is going out the door, you've got to put a pause button there. And so that's what I share with them when that time is required. And I also, you know, when I can, go over to the legislative appropriations committees to share about what is happening on the budget side of things. So those are the ways that we can interact. And, of course, my door is always open.
We have the gift-giving opportunities here with the Arizona 529 Education Savings Plan. If somebody listening wants to know more about it, where can they turn for more information?
They can go to the website at az529.gov. And that allows them to look at the question and answer page and take a look at what possibilities would be there for their families. And there's also different types of options for investing. So if you're a brand new investor and you want to take a conservative approach, there's something for you. If you have done this before, you want to be a little bit more sophisticated, there's a portfolio type of option for you there as well. And so, again, az529.gov is where they can go for that. But if they have any questions on the Arizona Treasurer's Office, the Treasury can be found for more information at aztreasury.gov. And we have great financial education tips for families on our webpage as well.
Arizona Treasurer Kimberly Yee, thank you for joining us, and want to wish you, of course, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year as well.
You as well, Kimberly. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, and online at KQNA.com from the Talk of the Quad Cities. KQNA, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Talk of the Town. We want to thank Justin Chase from Solari for joining us. And, of course, you can still get those Christmas gifts, albeit late, here in the beginning of the year with Arizona State Treasurer Kimberly Yee. And get one of those 529 scholarships going as well. We've got Ben Shapiro coming up next. And for the rest of your Thursday, I'm Sanford Cohen. Have a good one. We'll see you.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, A&E Reaver Graphics, Cottonwood Area Transit, High Country Rec V Center, Barrett Propane, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Cliff Castle Casino, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.